shown to me, worthy of the truth that I found. But all that you made will not be in vain. I'll make the best of the chance you've given me to overcome by the power of your Spirit, to overcome by the life in your blood. From every prison made for me, I know your truth. What you've called me to be.
Hey, hey. sing that song because he's given us a chance to strive for the bride. A chance that some people don't have. Well, a chance they may have one day, but I'm thankful for I have the chance now that I can make the bride, or at least I can strive for it. It's a wonderful calling we have, and I know I say it over and over and over about how wonderful I feel this calling is, but I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop feeling that way. I don't want to get to a point where I take that for granted. I said a few words Wednesday night about how I went to a church. It was a friend of mine who. It was a small Pentecostal church I went and visited a few weeks ago. A friend of mine was going into the military, and it was going to be his last week there. So I was friends with his family. I worked at Chick-fil-A with him and his sister for a while, and I wanted to see him off, so I went and visited them for church. It was a small United Pentecostal church, and it was probably about the size of this one. It was packed full of people, and they started singing and playing the songs, and everybody would get up and stand up and praise God, and you know, there was some jumping and there was some shouting, but there was something that I felt was missing. And every time I saw people get up and stand up, I felt like there wasn't, I may have been wrong, but it was just the feeling I got that they were getting up, and it was more of a routine than anything else. Because they were taught to get up and stand up and praise God. They would sit down when told to. They would stand up when told to. They would move out when told to. And I feel like they really were, you know, happy about what they had and the understanding they had that Christ, you know, came and died on the cross so that we can have our sins forgiven and go to heaven and be happy. And it was good. It's good to know that there are people out there that have that at least have that much understanding. But there was something I did not feel there that I feel here when we have when we play these songs like that one about to overcome by the power of His Spirit. This understanding that we have, that we have to overcome. We have to get to a point where we don't just have to get down on our knees over and over and ask God for forgiveness, but we can get to a point that we were perfect like Jesus was. We can get to a point where we don't have to ask for forgiveness for our sins all the time because we're not going to sin. And maybe if God see fit, maybe I can get to the point that I don't even want to sin. Maybe I can get to the point where I see the end of what's coming, and I have a full understanding that I'm not going to let anything stand between me and the work God's doing. And I was looking at them and seeing how they were jumping around. You know, I saw the minister get behind his pulpit, and he was getting worked up, and he was talking about how Pentecostal it felt that night, and he was getting his feet kicking up, kind of like that. And I was watching that and thinking, you know, this is Babylon here. And it made me think back to all the stories I heard, you know, about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, or Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew children, how after seeing these wonders, even the king of Babylon praised God and declared his name. And that seemed relevant to me at the time. Then I thought, how much more should I, or how much more should we, as part of God's spiritual Jerusalem, part of his called people, with the understanding that we have and the understanding that we're receiving, how much more should we be happy and excited about that when we're here in church? How much more should I be ready to kick my feet up and jump up and down for Him and praise His name and talk about how wonderful it feels in here, how wonderful it feels to feel the Spirit in here? Because I believe the Spirit works and is working in this people. I believe the Spirit was working in this service when we were singing that song about how to overcome by the power of His Spirit, but how God says we can overcome. I'm counting on you to overcome. We can't get complacent and say, I'm thankful, Lord, that you died for me, but what am I going to give back? I want to strive to the point where maybe I can be in that same position He was, willing to make the sacrifice He did, willing to stand up for righteousness, willing to lay down these earthly desires I have, these earthly pleasures, and say, no matter what, Lord, I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to overcome, and I know I can't overcome just on my own, but by the power of your Spirit, by the power of your blood that you shed for me, and that I can receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and speak in another language and receive more of you in my life, that I can overcome. I can go beyond where I am now. I can go beyond where anyone else may be in this time, that eventually one day I can be perfect and I can overcome. And that's something to be excited about. I'm sure it was exciting that it was starting to feel really Pentecostal in that building. But I'm really excited for the vision that we have in this building. I'm really excited about how much like the body of Christ it's starting to feel and hear more and more as time goes by, as this body is receiving more and more truths, as our ministry comes together and talks and converses and talks not in hostility, but in love, discusses these doctrines about the devil, about Godhead, but I think we're beyond that, about communion and all these different things that eventually the Lord's going to reveal these things to us. We're going to have a fullness of the truth. We're going to have a fullness of His Spirit. And I believe we'll see the dead raised. I believe we'll see the blind healed, the deaf healed. I believe we're going to see things that have not been seen in this day and age. And I'm excited about it. So I don't want to sit down and not take advantage for the vision that I have here tonight. It's a wonderful vision. It's a sweet vision. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that I don't deserve, that I can have this vision, that I can have this understanding. So what am I going to give back to God? What am I going to give to Him? Well, I'm going to start with a praise here tonight. I'm going to start with a raise of my hand. I'm going to start with a kick of my feet. I'm going to start with a little jump, maybe a little spin. Whatever it takes, Lord, because I'm excited. I'm excited, and I'm inspired to go on. I'm inspired to go on to perfection. I'm inspired to overcome. So let's strive here tonight. Let's, young people, let's lift each other up. Let's testify. Let's share our experiences. Let's share our vision. Let's work together. Let's lift up each other's arms. Let's lift each other up. It's going to get harder. It's going to get tougher. And there's going to become a point where it might be a matter of life and death, whether you're going to serve God or whether you're going to serve the system of this world. And Lord, I want the wisdom, the understanding to know the difference when that time comes. Because I believe both sides of this equation are going to look pretty good. One side may look better than the other, but Lord, help me know the difference between the wheat and the tares. Lord, help me know the truth. Help me get a greater understanding of the truth here tonight. Other services, Lord, give me the desire, the hunger to listen to our ministry as they speak. Give me the desire and hunger to tap into the Spirit when the song leaders are playing a song, to get something new, a new experience from the song, a new experience from the message, a new understanding, a new revelation. I asked Brother Phil today, it's a thought, it should have been obvious to me, but I just wanted to clarify, and I asked Brother Phil today, Lord, I said, Brother Phil, a Bible question. Are we a type of spiritual Israel? He said, yes. And I felt something there. I didn't show it like I should have, but I felt something. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the understanding we're receiving here. Thank you, Lord, for the vision we have. Thank you, Lord, for the hunger you've given us. So let's strive on. Let's really press in here to the service. Let's not count on everybody else to carry the weight. Let's all of us carry the weight. All of us young people. And not just the young people. I'm not going to point out who's young and who's not, but everybody here. Let's all do something. Let's all press in. Let's press into that vision. Let's press into that Spirit. I'm excited about what we're going to see here tonight. There's really something here. Can you feel it? Could you feel it in those songs? He's given us a chance to make the bride. He's giving us the means to overcome. To overcome. The world wants to tell us we can't overcome. The songs of this world, the contemporary Christian songs of this world tell us we can't overcome. But I believe, I firmly believe here tonight, we can overcome. We can rise above sin. We can get to a point where such a close relationship with Him. Let's press in tonight.
If Jesus says I can, I can. If Jesus says I can, I know I can. Adam tries to tell me I can't make the bride, but if Jesus says I can, I can. Oh yes, if Jesus says I can, I can. If Jesus says I can, I know I can. Adam
many of us don't go testify at least once a month. So it's maybe a lot for these to feel that pressure on there, these young people, and I don't want them to feel like they have to carry this whole thing. But I appreciate they did come up with that song to sing tonight, and I appreciated that. Those were good words and a good message there and a good thing to be reminded of. And I was able to relate to it a little personally because as I was hearing those words, that, you know, said he gave us the chance. And I thought that's really what it is. A lot of times we don't think of it as an opportunity. A lot of times, especially young people, don't think of this walk as a real opportunity. You know, I didn't see it that way when I was younger all the time. You know, it just felt like, you know, a bunch of stuff my mom and dad was making me do. You know, but as, you know, you get older and you learn to appreciate it, you do realize, yes, there's some work involved. Yes, there's some things we have to do. But, you know, just recently I made a big change and went back to work full time. Not that I didn't work full time before. Homeschool moms know that. But anyway, it's a whole different ball game. And when I went to apply for the job and interviewed, I was not only asking, I literally, in my prayer to God, I asked him, would you let me do this? Would you let me have this position? And then, of course, when I was interviewing, basically what I was doing was asking them, give me a chance to show you that I can be an asset, you know, that I can do this. And I realized, you know, but what I was doing was asking for work. I wasn't just asking for a paycheck. You know, they're not going to pay me for nothing. I was asking them to give me a chance to work. And then in return, you know, hopefully I will reap the benefits of that. And I thought, well, that really is really kind of what we're doing here. I'm asking God for the chance to work in his kingdom. God, let me show you that I can serve you. Let me have the opportunity to show you what I can do for you and to, you know, to try to serve you. And I'm going to tell you, in the last few weeks on that job, I have made some mistakes. And they're scary. You know, working at a bank type place with people's money and accounts, especially the first couple of weeks, I just, you know, I was a nervous wreck on some of that stuff. And one of the bosses, she kind of laughed at me. She said, you just get so frustrated. There's not a thing you can do that we can't fix. You know, I was like, well, yeah, but still, you know, but that's really kind of the way God, you think about it, there's not a thing you can do. You might make mistakes. You might stumble. In his case, it's really true. There is not a thing you can do that he can't fix. Not a thing. And that's what I want to remember. And he, even more, you know, out there, they're willing to give me some mercy, some grace, knowing that I'm new and learning. But how much more is he, is our loving God and Father? He knows me, and he knows my heart, and he is more than willing to accept the, what's it, Brother Smith calls it, flubbing the dub. You know, he's more than willing to accept that if I'm doing it with the right motive, and with the right heart, you know, and just trying to work for him, just trying to show him I love him. And I appreciate that so much because, boy, when I think about it, and I think of the times, you know, just in the last few weeks I've made mistakes there, but then I turn around in my own life and spiritually, and I think of the flubs that I've made, and I think of the times that, you know, what all the things that can go on, because you don't know your own heart. You think you do. Sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, and then you find out later how that looked. You know, you thought you were doing good, but maybe it was really self-righteousness that you were, you know, working in or whatever. And you see yourself in that mirror, and the light shines a little bit, and then you just like, oh, you know, God, how can I ever make that right? How can I ever overcome that? How can I ever get past that? You know, but he's given us this chance. He's given it to us, and he will meet us. He will more than meet us and make up the difference. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. I want to be able to, That's the word. Okay, I want to be able to express that to our young people. I want to be able to live that for our young people. I want to be able to show our young people, like God does me. You make a mistake, hey, God loves me. He works with that in me. He accepts my mistakes and loves me anyway and makes the difference. And I want to show that. I want to channel that to our young people. And not just our young people, but all of my brothers and sisters around me. I want to do that. I want to, you know, show his love like we were talking about today and help somebody over the hump. Enough people have helped me over those humps when I fell. Enough people have reached out a hand and helped me up, and I so appreciate that and want to be able to do that for my brothers and sisters. And just so thankful for this opportunity. So thankful. I've got to work. I asked for this opportunity, and he gave it to me. He said, okay, what will you do? What will you do with it? You know, I can be a mediocre employee that just gets by and does what I have to do, and they won't fire me, you know, but they won't exactly increase my benefits either if I do like that, right? And, you know, the same goes, you know, God, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Isn't that what it said? Who diligently seek him. You got to be diligent. You can't just slide by and, well, you know, I'm doing what I have to do, you know, but nobody else is doing this, so I'm not going to, or, you know, whatever. God doesn't give me that option. If he's talked to my heart, if he spoke to my heart about something, he doesn't give me that option. He's like, you know, what does it also say, you know, to who knows much, however, who much is known, much is required. You know, if you really know, then God's like, yeah, you knew, you know, just like I did with my kids growing up, you know, and they try to say, you know, you didn't tell me. Yes, I did. How many of you have told your kids that? You know, yes, you knew you weren't supposed to bounce the ball in the house. Yes, you knew you weren't supposed to, you know, go here without permission, whatever, you know, and God knows, he knows when we know and when we really don't. And he's like, yeah, you knew. So, you know, get it right. But I am so thankful, just so thankful to be here and be a part of this. Thankful for our young people. We got a good bunch. We really do. We've got a good bunch. We've got even more than this. They've just kind of, you know, taken their little roundabout trip somewhere, some of them, you know. But I am so appreciative for where we are.
He knows my heart, and I just really appreciated that song, Sister Lynette, because that spoke right to me. Because that first couple weeks after Phil went back to work, that was hard. And then me going back to work, having to learn the schedule of coming home and doing the diaper bag and cleaning the bottles and getting everything ready for the next morning, and then waking up and feeding her and getting me ready, and it's really hard. And I didn't want to do it. There was multiple mornings that I called Phil just crying and just, I can't do this. I don't want to leave her. She's crying. She needs me. And yet I've got to go to work. I've got to go and do what I've got to do. And I just wanted to give him praise because I had a really hard time over the first year with my job. And ever since I've been back, it has been really peaceful. And there's still stuff that goes on there, but my mind's not focused on that anymore. I don't care about what's going on there. I go and I do my job 100%. I do what I need to do, and I come home and I get to enjoy my family, and I get to enjoy time with Hannah and Elisha and Phil. And I didn't have that 2 years ago, and I didn't have Bridget. And he's just been really good to us. He's really blessed us in ways that I would have never thought I've been able to live. And I've been here and learning things that I've not heard before, and I'm very appreciative for where I am, and I just wanted to give him praise for that.
I'm very thankful to be here tonight. I'm really not a testifier, but I thought I'd get up and do my part. I was just thinking of how God has never given up on me, even though there's been many times in my life that I've wanted to just walk away from church. Like, I'll be in the car going home, and I'll be thinking, I don't want to go back. I was just so discouraged, and I just try to keep reminding myself that if I keep on going, it'll pay off in the very end. And I don't know. I'm just thankful to be here tonight.
You might, and Sister Ruth, I've been there, done that. And if we ask for a show of hands, probably 100% of us have been there and done that.
Yeah, here we go. I'm sorry. Yeah,
we've all been there. We know that feeling. I was telling my granddaughter a while ago, you know, young people. Oh, by the way, you young people were really gorgeous up here. And your song was great. I enjoyed looking at you and listening to you. I always enjoy young people that have made up their mind to put God first, Sister Ruth. It's a daily thing. We make up our mind every day. You know, we get up in the morning. I'll finish my story here. But we get up in the morning and we say, God, another day that belongs to you. Oh, thank you for not putting an age limit on that, Brother Caleb. I appreciate that. But we give God ourselves every day. And we think we're not going to mess up. Oh, let me tell you a story. Another one to go with a whole bunch of others that are up here. I got up here and told a story one time behind this Bible stand. You think you mess up? Sister Lynette was talking about that. It was a Bible story. I had just got through reading it, or at least I thought I had it in my head. And I told the story. And I sat down and I was thinking, did I tell that story right? I went home, got my Bible out, and read that story. It was horrible. It was horrible. I read that story. I thought, that's it. That's it. I will never, ever get up again. I don't think people know how stupid I am, but the problem is you already know. So, but at that time, I didn't know you already knew. I thought, God, this is horrible. And everybody, and what was I, how was I going to correct it? You know, you're talking about how you're going to correct it. But we can't make a mistake that God can't help us with. We just get over the hump. We just go on and say, I did it again. I'm sorry. I came to church about a year later. I hadn't got on my feet. I didn't want to get on my feet. Wasn't going to get on my feet. There was a brother that sat beside me in the band. This particular brother, I sat beside him probably for 3 years playing. I never heard him make one mistake in music, not one. He didn't make mistakes. And I told him, I said, brother, I'm going to have to quit sitting beside you. He said, why? I said, well, you never mess up. He said, oh, you mess up? I said, haven't you heard? Haven't you been listening? I said, I skip notes. I throw notes in there that's extra. He said, I thought you were doing that on purpose. I said, I'm not doing that on purpose. But he asked me, he said, Brother Paul, how come you don't get up and talk anymore? I said, did you not hear the last time I got up and talked? He said, oh yeah, you told the story. He told me exactly what story I told. I said, yeah, that was the one. I said, Brother, I messed that story up so bad. It was horrible. He said, I know. I said, how did you know? He said, you inspired me so much, I went home and got my Bible out and read it. I said, and you want me to get up and talk again? He said, Brother Paul, nobody messes up like you do. What can you say? It happens. It's normal. Well, I say it's normal. Sister Lynette, will you be with me on this? Oh, I hate messing up, and I hate for y'all to watch me do that. But you know, you just say, I'm sorry, and go on. That's all you can do. You just keep going. You don't stop. You don't stop. Huh? Yeah. And y'all hear Brother Weiniger back here telling me that he's an older man. Brother Weiniger, you've been there, haven't you? I could go down the line right here. Every one of these men was, yeah, Brother Paul, I've been there. We don't give up. We never, ever, ever give up. We may have to change gears, you know. We may have to back up a little bit and say, oh, King David had to back up. King David messed up, you know, but he got to where he was willing. He said, Lord, do I go into battle or no? That one particular time, he was down in the land of the Philistines. He had backslid to that point. King David, we're talking about. He backslid. He went down to the land of the Philistines. The king. The king. He went out. He was going to help. I don't know if he was going to help the Philistines or not. The Bible, the way it words, it sounded like he was going to help them. They didn't. You're right. You're right. Yeah, he wasn't a king yet. He wasn't a king yet. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Smith. Thank you. He wasn't a king yet. But he had been anointed king. We're anointed. We're anointed children of the Most High God. We're anointed. Okay? He was anointed. When they went back to where they was living, I don't remember the name of the tribe, okay? I'm going to just shell down the corn and tell you folks. When I don't remember, I'm not going to be making up any names. Sir? The Ziklag? That's where he lived. Right. And what was the name of the group that come down there and took all of his goods? The Amalekites come down there and took all of his goods. The men that was with David wanted to kill him. Now, you don't think that wouldn't make you feel bad? You know, we feel bad when somebody wants to kill us spiritually. What if everybody in here wanted to kill us spiritually? Oh, that would be pretty depressing, wouldn't it? David was in that position. But the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes we have to do that. We just say, God, I need help here. I need help. And so, then he asked God, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, go get him. Go get them. David did what God told him to do. Went down there and recovered everything. So the point I was trying to make with that story is we mess up sometimes. We mess up. We just have to say, God, what is that song, Sister? Sister York. I can't remember your first name. Amy? Sister Amy. Yeah, sung. There's worms in our mind. We don't want God going in. But he's in there anyway. Don't you just hate it? I hate it. But at the same time, I love it because I want to be saved. When I know God has gone into a room that I don't want him in, I say, God, I'm just going to have to submit to you. And Brother Smith even told us, our will is iniquity against God. The word iniquity means division. Our will is in division against God. We just have to lay our will down. Surrender. And the Bible, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, seek Him early. Somebody help me. While He may be found. It's talking about early in your life. Seek Him early. God's good to us. He has given us a chance. He has given us a chance. I love Him. I appreciate Him. I don't want to talk all night. I know that belongs to y'all. But I feel like it belongs to me too, Brother Caleb. Nick, get the wage limit on that. Thank you, Brother Caleb. Sister Lynette, we're helping him.
I appreciated that song, and in it it said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, we overcome by the power of your Spirit, I think it said. And it made me think of that scripture in Revelation 12 that we read today, where back in the early church, that war in heaven, they overcame that dragon system by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I was just thinking while they were singing that song of how to apply that, that how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus died for us, He paid a price. His death made it possible that your sins could be forgiven. God accepted His death, the life He lived, and His literal death as a sacrifice to forgive our sins. We never had to, like we was talking about in Bible study this morning, none of us has ever had to go before a high priest at the gate of the temple and cut a little lamb's throat. Take a knife and slit a little lamb's throat and watch it bleat and try to breathe and watch the blood drain out of it. None of us has had to have that experience to get our sins forgiven. But Jesus, His death, paid that price for you and I. And our faith in Him and what He did counts us worthy. God forgives us because of what He did, and because our asking God and repenting and asking God's forgiveness and accepting what Jesus did, having faith in that, He forgives us for our sins. Think about that. Every time you do something wrong, you can just ask God to forgive you. Because of what Jesus did, He erases those sins and count you worthy of His grace and His mercy, and count you righteous. He counts you as one of His righteous children, covered by the blood of Jesus or by the blood of the Lamb. And we move forward in our walk with God in that faith because He's accepted us, even in our condition. And then we overcome by the power of the Spirit. That it takes getting beyond just the faith in Jesus and being counted worthy and accepting what He did for us. We walk in that knowledge, knowing that He's accepted us and He counts us worthy and counts us righteous, while we're going through the process of washing ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. In the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about a group of people who washed themselves, their robes, and made them white. Well, that's what you and I are doing. We're coming here. God's taken the life of God that was in Jesus the Spirit of God and the Word of God. There's a scripture in Romans 1 that said, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And he was talking about that, the quickened Word of God, that the Spirit of God is quickening to us, that causes us to have faith in so much that we're obeying it. We're trying to put it into practice. And it's through that process that we're going through a washing. We're going through a cleansing process. The Holy Ghost is revealing things to us and giving us power. The knowledge of the Word of God, like Brother Caleb said, is giving us an understanding of how we are to live and behave and act. And that process is changing our mindset, and we're dropping off those carnal things. Like somebody mentioned here, the brother Paul David, the iniquity is, you know, our own will. Well, every one of us was born with natural minds. You're not born with a carnal mind. You're born with a natural mind. But it becomes fleshly. Your thoughts become fleshly, and your mind becomes carnal. The word carnal comes from the word carne, or flesh. Your mind becomes fleshly when you give over to the ways of man. And we're the carnal nature, which we're born in sin, in a sin nature, shaped in iniquity, or in the ways of fleshly man, or carnality. And so, but this power of the Spirit, God's give us the Holy Ghost. He not only forgive us for our past sins, but He's gave us a nature. And that nature becomes strong by the Word of God when our mind is able to give that nature vent where it can manifest itself and behave in a righteous manner. So I'm just thinking about that song, how, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that He counts me righteous. Like Brother Paul said, I'm not giving up just because I make mistakes, because I know that He counts me right. He'll forgive me. Jesus paid a price that perfected a way for me to walk in and be counted righteous of Him. And then while I'm walking in that, He's transforming my life by the Spirit of God, and it's changing me, and I'm becoming more like Him. And one day, Brother Caleb, I've got Brother Caleb's faith too, that one day I'm going to walk without sin in my life. There won't be any carnality, no iniquity, not even working, not even in my thinking. I've got faith for that. I believe that. I believe that's possible. But it's only possible if God leads me in that way. He's the one that, I don't know how to get there without His leading, so I keep coming, I keep serving Him. I keep having faith that I'm in the fold. He counts me worthy, even if I make a mistake. Hallelujah. So I appreciated that song. It inspired me. Hallelujah.
Driving, even pushing, praying more, reading their Bible more.
it's just a development. It's just a developing process that we're in. My wife and I were talking yesterday of how, you know, when you, as you get older and you get a greater understanding as you go, how that you realize, you know, that you see things as you get older that you didn't see when you were younger. And, you know, your understanding becomes broader, and you have, you know, it's just like I was saying this morning in Bible study, that God, He's not wanting to dictate to us that we do everything just exactly like He wants it done. He really wants us to expand our mind, to use abilities, our talents, and gifts that He's given us, that we as individuals have an individual, you know, fingerprint. We all have our own individuality, and we have minds that I think God wants to watch them develop, and explore and develop new areas that but what He wants us to do is learn to do all of that in righteousness. That all you do, that you do in His name or His nature, that it be done in a righteous way. I use that scripture where Paul said, all things are lawful for me. That's a big statement. Everything you think of would be lawful for me. But they're not all expedient. In other words, you've grow to a place where you are mature enough that you know I could, you know, in other words, I could eat something. I use that example that he used. I can eat something offered to an idol. I don't care if you offered it to an idol and cried and wailed and done whatever you wanted to do. It's just meat. The idol don't mean, I know the idol is nothing. There ain't no such thing as any other god besides God. So that's just meat. You might have cried over it or done whatever you done over it, but to me it's just cooked meat. And if I'm hungry, I could eat it. But I might not be able to eat it in front of a young Christian that knew that it was offered to an idol, that it might hurt their faith. So if I ate it, I'd probably need to eat it in a way that if nobody knew I was eating it and I was hungry, then it would be lawful. But it might not be lawful if it was going to hurt somebody else. All things are lawful, but it depends on the usage, depends on the motive, the reason, the how, and when, and, you know, everything that is involved. Paul was just saying that I've come to a place that I know whatever is in life for me to become a part of or take part of, there's a lawful way to be a part of that. Some of it's not expedient. Sometimes I can't touch it. But it'd be lawful for me. I could do it without it hurting my soul. But it might not be good for your soul. So as you develop and grow, and God gets us closer to Him by, you know, just going through life. There's, like Brother Caleb was talking about this church he visited. Well, you know, those are God's people. God loves people. And they may be just, they may not be able to get any higher than understanding that, you know, Jesus died for our sins to give us the Holy Ghost, and I've got the Holy Ghost. And I got to do the best I can do so I can go to heaven. That may be all they know about it so far. But God's gave us something more precious than that. He's gave us another step in Him to understand that this is not just, we didn't just get the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. But there's a righteous process He's taking us through. And we've got a chance to be the bride and make be perfect. Not everybody gets to hear this message yet. Hopefully, this whole world will get to hear it before too long. And so they'll have an opportunity, like we've got a chance. Thank God, Sister Ruth, you kept on coming. You still got the chance. You're still counted worthy. You know, when a person quits this, they're not counted worthy anymore. They're not, you know, God still would forgive them. All they have to do is ask Him. And they're still His child. But, you know, if you turn and walk away, then you don't have that covering. Thank God we still got a chance. He's revealed something to us, and we're in the overcoming process. Amen. By the word of our testimony. Your testimony is ongoing every day. Hallelujah. Stay in it. Stay in it. Stay in the boat. You'll make it. That's all's required of you. Do all you can do. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you for letting me. I was about to go crazy. You know, I've wanted all day to preach. I had to hold myself.
Church, I'd just like to say, I grew up as a Baptist, and I've told you before, I was a Catholic, the best Catholic I could be for 18 years, and I raised three daughters. They went with the Catholic Church through teaching, and each one of them has become deeply involved in missionary work and in churches like the Baptist Church and away from the Catholic Church. And I was Assembly of God a number of years. And what I'm standing up here to tell you about, I've just been soaking this up. I'm just like a soaking up blotter, because I'm hearing some truths that I was head smart, and I'm just soaking up the truths. And I know for a fact that God is still working on me. And that is the biggest thing I can think of. I'm 78 year old, and actually 78.8 year old. And I know God is working on me, because I know for down deep in my heart, there's lots of things I could be doing for God. I worked with June here, helped me write. I was a speaker every week or every month for the school over there when we were doing character qualities. Now, character qualities, the whole school there from principal down to the bottom was strong Christians. They didn't make a big deal of it, but they taught character qualities number one. And each week and each month they would have honesty and integrity and self-respect. And they'd have a big sign up there, and then there'd be some preacher or someone like myself get up there for 7 to 10 minutes and tell them about June helped me about 3 months before we were married about the adaptability. And she's thinking out of a different side of her brain. And those 200 and something children just sit there and listened, and they didn't even move. And when we talked about adaptability and how integrity and how adaptability mean you have responsibility, and then you wrap that together. So what I'm telling you on that is the schools had to be creative to teach character qualities. And when I looked at the character qualities, they were the fruits of the Spirit in many cases. So, and sitting down here, I would say I heard a lot about planting seed this morning. And I heard about fishing in the right area. They didn't say it, but don't use dynamite. Don't drop the whole load on them about something that when you should be just like fishing, just gently. So I'm going to encourage each one of you to let your little light shine, just like Sister Smith this morning said. Strike up a little conversation, because if you feed people interesting information just a little bit, then it means a lot. And when I was led by the NASA people, and they were 70-year-old and I was 30-year-old, up to Washington, the senator said, if you cannot tell us in 15 minutes what you want and what you're doing and how we can help you, just go home and shorten it down. So we even, up there, I would go with the old German, and he'd introduce me, and we'd even have an area of rehearsed coughing, and he'd take over and say his part to dunk it in the basket. So what I'm saying, be creative when your little light is shining. Think about how they're thinking, just like Sister Smith said this morning. Just put yourself how God is seeing that individual, be it rich or poor. So I'm so glad that I'm standing here tonight saying I'm just soaking up this teaching that I'm hearing from Sunday school. The witnessing today was such a uplifting to me. Thank you so much.
Glad you're here, Brother Hawkins. Smith said he wanted some specials. Brother Matthew and I haven't had a chance to practice, so this is proof to y'all that older people can make mistakes too. Yeah. I was telling the young people that older people make mistakes too. We're going to be proof of it right here. We just want to. I asked Brother Matthew if he wanted to testify, and he said he didn't. He was good. So, y'all forgive me if I just keep running my mouth. You ever seen that bumper sticker that says, help, I'm talking, and I can't shut up? I sometimes feel like that. But, you know what? We got something to talk about. I feel like we have something to talk about. You know, that lady I was talking to this morning, I wasn't really witnessing to her about the Lord. But I could have. I could have. And she might show up. She got her husband. I told her, I said, I want to meet that man. She said he was a hard worker. She was. He's got to be something else if he's hard working first. But that's what we need in this church, is hard workers. We need people that's dedicated. Young people, that's why we're looking at you. Because we want people that's dedicated. We want people sincere heart. People that want to put God first as you get older. And now,
fire is burning, we'll blow a little song when Jesus makes it fly. Tell him all about our troubles, hear our famous cry, and he'll answer by and by.
And everybody here, I think we do have the very best young people. And I just look at y'all and I just know y'all have the best parents and they're just putting the very best in you. I mean, you know, being out in the world and being in a public school and just growing up. And this is y'all 30 years ago. I mean, I remember coming home and telling my mom the most bizarre stories. I mean, I remember I dated this guy and his mother thought she was Cleopatra. I mean, weird things. I mean, but I mean, y'all, you know, your parents have just put the very best into you, and just by being in this church, and I just appreciate you all so much. And I remember, you know, when I was young, I didn't feel like I had, like, guidance. I mean, I was in school. I had very good parents. And, you know, I mean, y'all know that there was a period where I was just, like, I was in the body when I was real little. And Richard Tate, our pastor, he moved the church to Israel, and my grandma moved to Kansas. Anyway, it's a big, long story. So I just basically just went around to churches. Whoever was my closest friend, that's the church I went to. And, you know, and that's a lot of confusion right there, you know. And I felt like I was, well, being born and raised in Arizona, I felt like I was a tumbleweed. I really did, just rolling out in the desert, like, you know, tossed to and fro, and what's real and what's not real. And I just look at y'all, and I just know the very best is just being implemented into you and the way you carry yourselves and everything. And And Brother Caleb, I just have to say, you inspire me every time you get up. You do. You make me want to jump and run. I mean, I'm not kidding you. You are, and all of our young people are, really. I mean, I love to hear all of y'all. And but I also wanted to say, Brother Ogden, how much I appreciate you. I mean, you are just awesome every time I talk to you, and I'm just so glad that you're here with us, and Sister Ogden. And, you know, there's just so many people here that I love dearly, like Brother Al. Oh, my gosh, I love you with all my heart. But, you know, just going back to being a young person, and basically, you know what, I went to church because I wanted to. My parents weren't in church. I didn't have anybody standing over me, you know, on Sunday morning making me get up and get ready. I went to church because I wanted to. And like the pastor's daughter, I mean, different people would come by and pick me up. And I was a young person, and I would get myself ready, and I'd go to church. Nobody made me. I went because that's what I wanted. And I always knew, God, you are so awesome, you know, and I want to do your will. I want to be your child. I want to be a lamb in that fold. I want to be a link in that chain. I mean, and so, but you know, then when I got in high school, you know, and oh, my mom and dad bought me a Mustang. You know, I hated them when I first saw that car pull up in our driveway. That's what they got me, you know. But let me tell you, it changed when I got on that parking lot with that Mustang. Everything changed. And I started cruising Central Avenue, racing guys in their Camaros down Central Avenue and getting tickets. Explaining to the judge, you know, I got this ticket, and kind of like, you know, he asked me, what am I going to do to prevent this from happening? And I'm like, stay off the Central. And my mother kicks me, you know, because we're standing in before a judge, you know. But you know, I want to, you know, and then y'all, let me tell you something. And this is exactly what Brother Smith teaches us. You get out there in that world and you get your life entangled. You do. You get, you know, I met this guy because, oh my gosh, I thought he was so good looking, you know. I mean, imagine, that's why you decided to marry somebody, you know. And I've repented to my boys. That's why Joe's so good looking. But anyway, his dad was very good looking. But anyway, I'm so sorry, Brother Smith, but I want to tell you that you get out there and you get in this world and you mess up. And you know, I mean, the world is not what you think it is, because I remember reading this book written by a rabbi of all people, but the book, I mean, what he was talking about, when all you've ever wanted is not enough. And I'm telling you, if you go out in that world, you will not be satisfied. Oh no, you will not. Because there's not anything to just hold you, keep you in that happiness. It's nothing out there. It's nothing. It's just like a facade. And I'm telling you, I know that for the truth, just like Sister Smith when she's here. And she's given us that testimony about looking out the window, living in a nice home and several real expensive cars in the drive and a swimming pool. And it's like, and this is all there is? This is all there is? You know what? It is not worth it. It is not worth it. I've lived that life. I raised two boys by myself. And you know, it's like, Lord, you get a personal relationship with them, and that's what told you, because that's what brings me back. I mean, there's been times, and I'm sorry, but there's been times when there's been a few people here that have really hurt my feelings. And Sister Ruth, I did not want to come back. You know what? I don't have to go back there. Look, I'm grown. I can live my own life the way I want. I don't have to go back. But you know what? It's the Lord that beckons and calls you. And then he reminds me that, you know what? you didn't come there for those people. Y'all were strangers to me. I did not know one. Linda, she is my coworker. Yeah, but we were just like casual, you know. But he reminds me what I'm here for. This is what I'm here for. My relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my all and my all. And regardless, you know what? That's the reason why I'm here, is for him. And because I want to please him. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I've always prayed for. Lord, keep that desire in my heart to serve you. Don't ever let me lose that. Don't ever let me lose that. That is my will. That is what I'm here for. Because you know what? He fulfills everything. You know, it's like every day is like a surprise. I mean, just something, you know. I mean, y'all may think this is crazy. But, I mean, Michael knows. But, I mean, there's just things in this world you want. You know what I wanted? And, y'all, this is weird, I know. But I wanted the Wendy's chili recipe. May not mean anything to anybody else, but you know, I'm like, I could sure make this my own if I could get that recipe. And well, lo and behold, it just pops up on Facebook. Okay, now you know what? You can't convince me. I mean, it's just little things like that. I mean, the big things too, but the little things. But this world, you know what? It has nothing. That world has nothing in comparison with what the Lord can do for you daily, every single day of your life. That is emptiness. It's nothing. That's false. That's lies. You know what? You have friends and you don't really even know who you can trust. Oh, they, you know what? They are. They will stab you in the back. We call them backbiters in here. And let me tell you, the world is full of them. You don't know who your friends are. And anyway, I just wanted to tell you all that, you know, I lived that life. I think when I landed here, I was 33 years old. And I'm 51 now. And, you know, like I said, I was in Richard Tate's in Phoenix, Arizona when I was little. And that work just, you know, ended. And then I wasn't in church. And I just went here and there with whoever and just really give myself total confusion. But I tell you, it really did let me know enough to say, God, where are your people? What is the truth? I know you're not a wishy-washy God. These people can't believe this and these people, and it's okay for these people to do these. But, you know, I'm like, God, I know you better than that. You are not like that. But, you know, just to, I don't know, I just felt like I wanted to say that to y'all because you are in the very best place. I think Sister Lynette said something about a part of that song, you know, that God's given us this opportunity, this wonderful, great opportunity, and it is. It is. You know what? If I was a young person, I'd just jump in on both feet and I'd just give everything I've got to just, this is it. This is everything. And y'all are just so wonderful, and I watch y'all all the time, and I just, you know, I just have to smile because I know your parents are doing an excellent job on all of you, and I love you all so much.
Thank God.
I'm thankful that Bosemuth gives us the opportunity to have these services. It really helps me during the week, and I don't want to take it for granted. So I'm just thankful to be here.
Thank God.
I was asked to pray, and a bunch of us went together, and just in a building we all joined hands and we prayed, and it was to open a center in Rogers, Arkansas. And here's how we prayed. Nothing fancy, no long words, but we held hands and we were sincere. And when we got done praying, each one of us told the others what we saw, what came into our minds. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the greatest gift that can be given to you. And the gift, and your mind expands with the use of the Holy Ghost. There were people there that probably didn't have the Holy Ghost, and that was not the issue. I was in the Baptist church. But I believe it was Michelle that went with me that night. And I will never forget it, because I got the impression of two. Another one had 20. But it all focused. This is how the gift of God is. All of us had something that had to do with two, and what the issue was, when would this home open for the homeless there in Rogers? And do you know that we were able to apply what we had gained? That home is still open. It's still working. What all of us got, it was how much money we needed to open this home for the homeless. And we got, it all had to do with two. One person had to have more money than 20. I think it was $2,000. I think that was the issue. It was a little bit of money, but it was enough that it could have kept people out on the streets in the fall. But we applied what we got. We opened that home, and it's still open. I'll tell you, to see this group gather, I was listening to the harmonizing of the singing and thinking, when people get together and they apply it to a certain thing, it's a miracle what God can work. I will never forget that night and the people. And you know, we separated, never were again together. But I've thought about every time I go by there on the west side, I mean on the north side of Rogers, I will look. And for a second, I will bring back in memory. So I really hope tonight that there is something being bonded that will take us through whatever God is going to put us through. Because our young people are living in such a treacherous time now. We thought we were when it was the days of the Korean War, and we were. But I'll tell you, I think sometimes we're in more trouble now than we were, and I really appreciate our young people and that they are getting something that they can bring back out of memory. I really am glad to be here, and I enjoy my children and my grandchildren. I'm just glad to be here, and there's so many things that through the years I have a memory bank that I can bring back and I can think about how they done this or they done that, and the end results of serving God. And God is so merciful to us, because even when we goof up, he knows who we are. He really does. He really knows who we are, and he knows who he wants us to be put somewhere to serve him. I know that those people that night that had come from, I don't know who all they were. There was at least 20 of us, but we all had just enough. But when you're serving God, you don't have to have a great big tidal wave. If you are sincere, all you need is sincerity. And it really helps if you hold hands. Because when you're holding hands with your fellow person, you have that contact. And I look at the people here and I look at our children. And I miss the children that aren't here. But I'm just glad to be here tonight. And I want to keep on keeping on. I don't see any reason to quit. And I'm a little bit older than Esther. I'm not going to tell you how much older, but if you want to know, I'll tell you in private. Well, you know, a woman's got some pride. But I'm real glad to be here, and I'm glad to be part of this group. And if we have a prayer that needs to be answered, let's form some groups and hold hands. And let's pray. And then let's stand back. And I don't mean to be boastful, but let's just stand back and let's see what God can do, because he's a wonderful God and he loves us.
I'm wondering if I can just read this without making any comment. Think it's possible? Isaiah 55. Boy, this is not easy. I sure want to say something on the very first verse. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knowest not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. My. Let's stand up and give the Lord a praise before I preach. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God, for your blessings. Oh, God, for your goodness, your touch on our lives. God, for our young people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord and my Savior, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for your good word. God, for your touch on our lives. The wonderful Holy Ghost that you blessed us with, Jesus. Oh, God. Guide our steps. God, help us to be a greater light. Use us in a way that we may not even have thought of, Jesus. Oh, God, help us to reach out to this world, those that are about us that you want us to reach out to. Oh, God, lead and direct us. Help us, oh, God. We give you praise. Bless our young people, Lord. God, touch them, inspire them, encourage them. Lift them up, oh Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Praise God. All right, shake hands and be friendly.